You go, oh, good, great. Was that the truth? I just feel some heaviness in the room. And I'm just reminded what the Bible says. It says, come to me who are weary, and I will give you rest. And I want to pray for people here this morning who are feeling a bit weary, feeling tired, feeling heavy burdened. I want to tell you that there's a God who cares so much that he will take it off you, if only if you're willing to surrender it to him. Oh, no, I'm big enough to carry this. No, you're not. You're not big enough to carry it. And so if that's you this morning, I don't want you to be mild or anything. Just stand where you are. You don't have to come to the front. Just stand where you are if you're feeling weary, tired, burdensome. I want to pray for you. Just be honest. Can I ask everyone else who's around them, can you just go surround them and just lay hands on them? I'm just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you care so much about each and every one of us. That you said that when we're weary, when we're tired, when we're burdensome, that we can lay it at your feet and you'll give us rest. And so I pray in the name of Jesus for every person that is standing, is feeling burdened, is feeling overweighed by things in life. I pray in this moment, Holy Spirit, that you come and saturate them with rest. I pray for a peace that surpasses all understanding. And I pray for just fresh rivers of living water to flow upon them right now in the name of Jesus. That, Lord Father, as they surrender the very thing that is holding them down, I thank you that you're lifting them up with your hand. And so, Father, I thank you that you're lifting their heart up again. I thank you that you're lifting their chin up again. I thank you that you're lifting up their hands up again, that they are coming into a posture of surrenderance and a posture of worship towards you, knowing that you care and knowing that you are taking everything from them to carry that you're going to carry for them. I thank you that you don't just get rid of our problems, but you walk through it. And so, Father, as you walk through the situation that they may be going through, I thank you that at the end of the tunnel is greatness. At the end of the tunnel, there is blessing. At the end of the tunnel, there is breakthrough. And so, Father, we claim it in the name of Jesus, even if we haven't received it in this moment. We thank you that our breakthrough is coming. And so, Father, we just lay it at your feet. We lay it at your cross. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen, amen. Give God a hand this morning. Still feel a bit burdened, but I don't know why. I'll figure it out while I'm preaching. last week, welcome everybody. Hello everyone. Everyone all right? Last week we talked about discipleship. We started off, I don't even want to call it a series, but I just want to talk about a conversation that's going to take place over the pulpit over however many weeks it's going to take. Last week we talked about what it is to be a disciple. What it is to be a disciple. And the four main points that we talked about last week is a disciple is one who abides in God's word. That's in John 8:31-32. If you're writing notes, I encourage you to write notes because you will forget. A disciple is one who loves God and loves one another. So it's not just loving this way, but it's loving this way. And that's in John 13:34-35. A disciple is one who bears fruit. They're not one who just plants themselves and bear no fruit and nothing, but they bear fruit. That's in John 15:8. And the last point that we talked about last week is a disciple is one who makes disciples. Matthew 29:19-20 talks about it. How God says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Because you can't make disciples without being a disciple.
Amen.
Okay. And what I've realized is that you cannot become a disciple by accidentally getting there. I have to make it clear. You can't accidentally get to be a disciple. You cannot accidentally abide in God's word. You cannot accidentally love God and learn to love others. You cannot accidentally bear fruit. You cannot accidentally make disciples. Are you with me? It always starts in a moment of vulnerability towards God, where you take the first step to say, God, I surrender to you. It's making a decision, a purposeful, intentional decision to go, God, I surrender to you. And in that surrendering, he starts taking you on this journey of becoming a disciple. And you know what the great thing is? It was free for us to receive Jesus because salvation is free. You agree with that? Salvation is free. When we accept Jesus in our life, it's free. We didn't have to do anything other than accept. But who is wanting more than that? That's my question to you. It's cool. If you want to accept Jesus and live this life, just accepting Jesus and going, yeah, cool, I'm going to heaven, blah, 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 blah. That's cool. You can be in that space. But is there anyone in this room wanting more than that? More than attending church, more than just waiting for something to happen, but to be a disciple who walks in God's grace and power in all areas of life, not just in church life, but in all areas of life. When you're at work, when you're at school, when you're shopping, when you're hanging out with family, God's power and grace can move in all areas of our life if we choose to allow him to. So who is wanting more? So if it's you this morning, I thought I want to start with a prayer and open this up with a prayer. And so if that's you this morning, can I just ask you just to lift your hand, one hand up and one hand to your heart? And I want you to repeat after me. Say, Jesus, I open my heart. I choose to surrender to you right now. Let me see what you see, hear what you say, reveal what needs to go in my life. Help me, Holy Spirit, to be obedient to your voice. I choose to take the next step you want me to take. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go on this little journey. And so the title of my message today is The Cost of Discipleship. This first point is going to be the most confronting point that you'll ever have to live with. Truth. And I want to encourage you today, don't shy away from what I'm about to say to you, but ask Holy Spirit to speak to you and also speak to you beyond this point of service where you get to develop it in your own time. And this first point, it's going to be so confronting that to you it's like, oh yeah, I heard that before, but it's very hard. And the first point I want to talk to us today is about deny yourself. Can we say that together? One, two, three. Deny yourself. One, two, three. Luke 9:23. He says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus puts it right out there that if you truly desire to go after him, we first must deny ourselves. We must deny ourselves. Who has heard that in the church before? Yeah? Deny. And a lot of time they're like, you just got to deny yourself. You got to take up the cross. What does that mean? That means nothing to me. Denying oneself. How do you deny yourself? What does that mean? Do I look in the mirror and say, I'm denying you? Like, what do you do? How do you deny yourself? Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. The Greek word for deny is the Strong's number, if you want to put the Strong's number, 533. So if you go on Google, every time I say the Strong's number, if you go Strong's 533 word, it will bring up the word. And the word is apa ne omai. Apa ne omai. And it means this, to deny, but it also means this, to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone. So to deny, in context of Scripture, means to affirm that one has no acquaintance or connection with someone. You might be going, what does that look like? There's a person in the Bible who chose to deny Jesus three times. In him denying Jesus three times, what he was saying to the crowd is that I'm actually have no acquaintance with this man right here. So when God says to deny oneself, he is saying, I have no acquaintance or I have no connection with that person. And so when Peter denied Jesus, he was denying to the crowd to know or have any association with him. Do you follow me this morning? So how does that relate to us? Thank you for asking. I appreciate that. So we see what it means. It means to deny oneself, to cut off association of someone or connection with someone. So how does that relate to us? What Jesus is saying is that if you desire to know him and truly walk with him, we must intentionally step away from having primary allegiance with ourselves and rather have primary allegiance with God. It's making a decision that I'm not going to go off my flesh and my feelings, but I want to sever the connection and say I want to deny and take no association with my sinful nature and I want to put it towards God. Are we okay? And you know what the thing about the scripture is, if we go back to Luke, this seems like harsh language. Look what it says. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. That is quite harsh language. And the reason why, I believe, from reading scripture, the reason why Jesus made this harsh language towards us is because he's ensuring that each of his words is clear. He's making sure that we can't misinterpretate what he's saying. He's making it clear, plain, black and white, deny yourself. Isn't it funny? I thought about it last night. I was writing this message till 3:30 this morning. That's how long it took me to write this message. And with God, I was like, isn't it funny that we choose friends, right? We choose friends. And we have friends who we're like, you're all or nothing. If you're not all or nothing, I'm not going to be like that close to you. Anyone got friends like that? It's all or nothing. And we expect that in regards to our friendships on earth. But when it comes to Jesus, we say it's unfair. Jesus expects this allegiance that is uncompromisable, and we're like, nah, that's too hard. But we expect that with friends and family that we live with. Close friends, we're like, we expect that same allegiance. But when Jesus asks us for that same allegiance, we're like, that's unfair, we can't do that. But we have the expectation of others. Are we okay? What Jesus is making clear to us is that there is no halfway relationship to this. Can I say that again? There is no halfway relationship with Jesus. It's either you're in or out. It's either you're all or nothing. And I know like God loves us. He's got grace for us. And he'll forgive us again and again. And he'll keep inviting us back to his arms again and again. But there comes a time where that you can't come back to him. That is the reality. Why? Because tomorrow's not promised. Today is all we have. Like I can plan for tomorrow, but tomorrow is not promised to me. And the Bible says that for all mankind, that tomorrow is not promised. So we have to focus on what is happening today. What if we don't have a tomorrow? Oh, no, but I'm just having so much fun. But what if there is no tomorrow? And so this cost of discipleship is saying you need to deny yourself. You need to sever relationship with yourself and making you the primary source for all things and actually have the primary source as God, Savior, King, as my primary resource. And so I want to say this question to you this morning is that if denying oneself means you have intimate relationship with Jesus, I want to say this, are you willing to deny yourself daily? Because God says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. So, and in denying ourselves, we get to know him more. We need to ask ourselves, am I willing to sacrifice and deny myself on a daily basis so I can get to know Jesus more and more. Because you can't willy-nilly have a relationship with him. Oh, but I know the Queen of England. You know of the Queen of England, but you don't know the Queen of England. Oh, yeah, I know the Rock. You know of the Rock, but you don't know the Rock. A lot of Christians know of Jesus, but doesn't know Jesus. We've got to step away of knowing of Jesus, but know Jesus. So when anyone else says something against your King and Savior, you're like, that doesn't sound like my Lord. It doesn't sound like him. Why? Because you have a relationship with him. The reason why I can stick up for my wife when people talk against her is that because I know my wife. The reason why you can stick up for your friends on that, you know your friends. It's out of relationship. And so if denying oneself means that we have an intimate relationship with Jesus, the question we need to ask ourselves today, not tomorrow, not next week, today, am I willing to deny myself daily to know Jesus more? The cost of discipleship. True discipleship. Are we okay? The second point I want to take us through is take up my cross. Let's go to Luke 9. Take up my cross. Luke 9:23. It's coming. Luke 9:23. Oh, not there. The first scripture. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. And then it says, and take up his cross daily. The word daily in here is actually not in the original text. They just added that in as something for a reminder. So that taking up a cross is a daily act. But it actually just says, take up the cross and follow me. Are we okay? So we need to deny ourselves. And then we have to what? Take up our cross and follow him. Who's heard of take up your cross? Yeah? The problem with take up your cross is that there becomes a lot of misinterpretation on what taking up your cross means. I've heard it in church before, and when I look back, I was like, actually, I've been taught wrong. it's great. And so I thought, I need to start with what God isn't saying here, what he isn't saying. Because in the church, there has been misinterpretations of what it means to take up your cross and follow him. And so the cross here in this context is not referring to the difficulties you're facing in life or the things you're about to face. For example, you're going through a difficult season, and so that is God telling you, take up your cross, follow me. That's not what it means. Even though that's been the way the church has interpreted it, that's not what the context means. Because if we understand this other truth, today in our era, we see the cross as God's love. We see the cross as God's grace. We see the cross as atonement, meaning reconciliation with Jesus. We see that as the cross as forgiveness. That's what the world today sees the cross as. But the cross in Jesus' time was a symbol of torturous death. This is why I say we misinterpreted the take up your cross, because we make it sound like, oh, it's about difficulties and about what we're going through. No, no. The cross was torturous death. Because before we have to understand what the Bible says, we must read it as a Jew. So back in Roman times, when people were crucified, it was mainly because they rebelled against those in authority. So anyone who was crucified back in those times were those who had serious crimes on them. And so they rebelled against authority. And the one who was carrying the cross, and you can picture Jesus as well, the one who was carrying the cross was carrying it to their death. Jesus did the same thing. He carried it to his death. And in carrying it, this is how smart the Roman people were. In carrying it, showed complete submission to the authority they have rebelled against. So when carrying a cross, they're carrying it to their death, but in carrying the cross, they're showing submission to the one they rebelled against. So when Jesus calls us to bear our cross as part of following him, it's like asking us to fully surrender to him, just as the condemned criminal does to his own fate. Just as a criminal has to take his cross and be under submission to the authority that was given to go up there to die, the same thing requires from us death. Ow. The reason why I'm here every Sunday is because death. I've got to die to myself every Sunday. When I'm setting up, when I'm going through stuff, when I'm going through emotions and going through attitudes and people not turning up. Oh, this is just you? Okay, this is me. This is real life. This is real talk. With all this stuff coming on, and I know I have to preach. And in my me getting ready to preach, and then I'm like, all of a sudden I have to go back to the piano. I'm going to be real for you at the moment. Go back to the piano. I'm not supposed to be playing piano. I'm supposed to be getting ready to preach. Him playing piano today, I'm like, dying myself. I'm filling in a spot where I shouldn't be filling, but I'm going to fill it anyway because I'm dying to myself. You guys are right. Because even the reason why he tells us to take up a cross daily, because it's required daily. It's not easy leading the church. It's not easy leading people. Why? Because people come with problems. You have problems, I have problems. The problem is that we all have problems. But I thank God that he is just. I thank God that he is merciful. I thank God that he is graceful, that he helps the body to lean into each other. And so denying oneself and taking up one's cross isn't a procedure to get closer to God, but rather it's a response for what he did on the cross for us. So taking up the cross and denying oneself is not just like, oh, because I want to get closer. We do that in response to what he has already done. The commitment, this is going to sound harsh, but it is, it's truth. The commitment we are making to God is one to death. But the hope we know is that our true life starts after death. We get so concerned about the death today, or death in this world, where we forget true life starts after death. And that's eternity with God. But the life that we live today is the one that can go in the blink of an eye. Quick. Like this week, literally after service, I'll be going to another service to do a funeral. And that funeral is with a 3-week-year-old baby. 3 weeks. Preparing myself for that has been difficult. Because all I can ask God is like, why? Don't know. Don't know the answer. Don't know anything. But all I know, eternity waits for all of us. But what eternity we go to is dependent on the decisions that we make today and going forward. There is a heaven. There is a hell. Heaven is where God's designed us to go to. Hell was never designed for man. It was designed for the devil and all his minions, his ugly minions, all of them. It was all designed for them. But in our rebellion and our decisions, we made hell open for us. The life that we live today is one that can go in the blink of an eye. And you might be going, oh, I'm not ready to be this disciple that you're talking about. You're never going to be ready. You're never going to be ready. How did Jesus call his disciples? He called them from the byways and highways of life, the ones who failed in religious studies. Did you know that? Disciples were people who'd failed in their studies, because every Jew back in that day had to study at the age of 12. And at the age of 12, they would make a test. And in that test, they would have to either pass to become a teacher, or they'll fail to become a blacksmith or a fisherman and all those other things. So God chose people who are failures to become the disciples. Were they ready when God called them? No, they weren't. But in becoming close to Jesus, they became ready. And even up to his death, they weren't ready. But when the Holy Spirit was given, when the Holy Spirit was given to man, that's when they became ready. Why? Because we should understand that we can't do it alone, but we need God with us. And God sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within us so that we have the power to do things that we thought we couldn't do. Being a disciple will cost us, but choosing God's way leads us to life after death. That's what we've got to remember. Choosing God's way today leads us to life after death. That even though that our mortal body dies, our spirit lives with him forever. I heard a speaker say this, I don't know where I would listen to it. I think it was maybe a podcast or YouTube. And he said something profound that I never forgot. Everyone knows what a tombstone is? Tombstone? You know? You have a tombstone when you lay your buried. Or a vase if you get cremated. And on that tombstone, you have what? Your date of birth. And then on the other side, you have your what? Death date. In between the two dates is a dash. That dash represents your life. The dash between the death and birth, that dash, so small, represents your life. We really need to examine our life today, because our life that we live today is so small. Eternity is forever. God is calling us to be disciples today. Not tomorrow, not next week, but he's calling us to do it today. And you may go, oh, but, you know, I'm just new to this, and I'm back at church. Let me tell you, get around mentors. Get around people that is in the house already, who've been in the faith for a long time. Be around them. Get them to encourage you. Get them to push you. Why? Because God is calling disciples today. Not tomorrow, not next week, because tomorrow's not promised. Next week's not promised, but today is sufficient. I want to ask you, what are you going to do with that dash? The dash between you being born and you dying, what are you going to do with it? You can either be a disciple and live for God wholeheartedly and surrendered your life wholeheartedly, or you can live life having fun. Live life just to be rich. Live life just to be okay. Are we okay? I know the title of my sermon is called The Cost of Discipleship, but the true question we need to ask ourselves is, am I willing to follow Jesus regardless of the cost? I'm telling you what the cost is, but are we willing to do it regardless of the cost? I'm about to bring a couple more verses before finishing up, and with these verses, it's going to be thought-provoking, and you're going to be going, why did Jesus say this? In Luke 9:25, it says this, for what profits a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? What profits a man if he gains the whole world? Jesus is reminding us here, you can enjoy the world and have all its wealth and fun, but what's the point in enjoying the world's riches when you will spend the rest of eternity separated from God? What profits a man? This is serious talk, because this is your life on the line. And you know what? It's not just your life on the line. It's everybody attached to you. It's their life on the line. The way I live reflects to my son. And if my son sees that I'm not dedicated to the house of God, if my son sees I'm not dedicated to God, if my son sees that I'm just willy-nilly having fun and just enjoying life, my son is going to echo what I'm doing. So it's not just me that I've got to think about. I've got to think about my son. But then I'm not just have to think about my son. I've got to think about the church. I've got to think about people who I don't think who's watching me, but is watching me. You know, there's people out there watching you without telling you they're watching you. They're just watching you. You know what? It's got to happen. There are your people in your life without you realizing that you're leading. And if we actually have this mentality like, I'm leading somebody that I don't know who I'm leading, so how am I leading myself? Because what profits a man who gains the whole world but doesn't have a relationship with Jesus? What profits a man? Is it truly worth it? Is it truly worth to gain the whole world and not be a disciple? Nah, it's not worth it. Because remember, your life is only a dash. Eternity is there forever. I want to take this further. It's going to hurt you. 100% it's going to hurt you. I want to take it even deeper than what I just said now. Luke 14. Oh, this is sore. This is going to be really sore. Can we have Luke 14? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Let me read that again. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Oh, you know what? People use this to contradict the Bible, saying, oh, that's where the contradiction happened in the Bible. You're supposed to love your neighbor. You're supposed to honor your mother and father. And the reason why people say that is because they don't understand what context means. The reason why is because how we define words today is not how they defined words back in the day. So we're going to look at the word hate. Hate is actually not how we define it. So it's the Strong's number G3404. G3404, if you want to look it up later. And the Greek word for hate is miseo. Miseo. And that word means to hate, to detest. Furthermore, it means to love less. Hello? It means to love less. And you might be going, why would God use the word hate to love less? There's actually a scripture in Genesis we're going to jump all the way to, but it's a story, I want to break it down. The story is about Jacob, Rachel, Leah, and Laban. Laban is the father, Rachel and Leah are the daughters. Jacob is the guy who came in the scene, and he's like, oh, Rachel, I want you. So what did he do? He went all the way to the father, Laban, and said, hey, can you give me Rachel? And he's like, yeah, I'll give you Rachel. 7 years, serve me. Oh, yeah, 7 years worth it. Served them 7 years. And he's like, hey, it's time to pay up. Give me Rachel as my wife. And then what does he do? Laban gives Leah. And he's like, hey, you went against your word. You gave me Leah, not Rachel. And he's like, I want Rachel, not Leah. And so he's like, serve me 7 more years, and I'll give you Rachel. End scene. Cool? Everyone understand that? And so in Genesis 29, I need you, you know how I say look at every word and every line? It's very important in this. And this is the King James Version, because I need to bring it back to as close to the original text. And it says, he went, this is Jacob, and also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. So he loved Rachel more than Leah, and served with him, this is Laban, yet 7 other years. So he's just saying, I had to serve Laban another 7 years, and I love Rachel more than Leah. And then look what God says in verse 31. And then when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So just because Jacob loved Leah less than Rachel, God says, and when the Lord saw that, Leah was hated. But Jacob didn't hate Leah.
Jacob loved him, loved her less. And so in context of scripture, when God says, hate your brother, hate your sister, hate your mother, hate your father, hate yourself, he's saying, love them less than I. Make sure that you love me more than your family. That even when your family walk away from God, that you keep continuing loving and coming after me. That even when your brother and sister is trying to get you away from me, you continue to love me. You got to love me more than your family. And I hear this all the time, family first. And I believe family first, 100%. But God is always first in the picture. Because if God's first in the picture, he can teach me how to be a better father. He can teach me how to be a better husband, how to be a better pastor, how to be a better friend, how to be a better brother, how to be a better uncle. In loving him, he will teach me. And so when God says, if we go back to Luke 14, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his brother, his father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And then in verse 27 says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. So if anyone comes to me and doesn't hate or love less than, you can't be my disciple. And so what God's putting us in this picture, he's like, you can love your parents, you can love all your siblings and all this and yourself, but you need to push them all the way to the bottom and love me first. And that sounds rude in this day and age, but trust me, when we love God first, all blessing flows. Your marriage gets better. When you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, if you put him first and seek first the kingdom of God, all other things will flow off you. What will flow off you? All blessing, all breakthrough. Why? Because you're connected to the source of all things. So when God's saying, hate them, he's saying, love them less than. Jesus is pointing out to us, it's not everyone else then him, but it's him first. Jesus before my family. Jesus before my own life. Are we okay this morning? Being a disciple of Christ is literally all or nothing. The blessings that Jesus has for you and I is far greater than what we deserve. Can I say that again? The blessings that Jesus has for you and I is far greater than what we deserve. But we must choose daily to be disciples that deny oneself and also take up our cross and follow him. Taking up our cross and denying oneself is not two separate things, but one of the same. They work in conjunction with one another. And so I want to ask us this morning this question as I finish. Are you willing to make that decision regardless of the cost? Regardless of the cost, are you willing to make the decision to go, God, I really want to be your disciple? Can I say this? This church is not a Christian club. We're not a Christian club that just turns up here on Sunday, worship God, listen to the word, and that's it. We're not a Christian club. We're disciple makers who make disciples. But you know what it requires us? To turn up. It requires us to turn up. It requires us to deny oneself. I say, this is how like my mind was this morning. I was like, you know what? Next week, I'm not turning up. Oh, and it's not funny for you, but it's funny for me. I was like, I'm not turning up next week. See what happens. I'm not going to turn up. Because I was just so in my mind, eh? And I was like, Jordan, stop it. Like, we have to deny oneself. There'll be times that you don't want to be a connect group. Deny oneself. There'll be times that you don't want to turn up for church thing. Deny oneself. Oh, but I got this on and got this on. Deny oneself. Why? Because even though you may have this and this on, what if tomorrow is your last day? Then that very thing that we put emphasis and value on means nothing. Why? Because we have no relationship with Jesus. And the only reason why I'm pushing discipleship from last week to this week, because I sense in my spirit, God's preparing and getting ready for war. But that war is with strong people, mighty people, people of valor, not people who are in and out. Oh, come in when they go, come in when they leave. Like, God's raising strong men, strong women to take up the call. The people that I see in this room and the people that I know who are away because of holidays, I see each and every one of you as strong men, strong women, strong people, pillars, not only within this church, but within communities that we reach in. But it's going to cost you. But even with the cost, are you willing to regardless? Are you willing regardless? So maybe we're going to make the decision today. Are you willing to make the decision today? If that is you this morning, and you're like, oh, Jordan, you're crazy. This cost is a lot. But you know what? Even though it costs us a lot now, eternity is worth it. Oh, but Jordan, you know, like, I like having fun in the world and all this other stuff. That's cool. But there will become a time where you have to decide, whom will you serve? Yourself? Or will you choose to deny oneself? Sever yourself from your fleshly nature. Sever yourself from your anger. Sever yourself from things that put you into lust, put you into torment. Are you ready to sever those things and pursue God with everything you have so that you can become the disciple God's always called you to be? This is not a new calling for you. It's not a new calling for me. It's the call that God always had for us to be his disciples. Always. Because the last commission he gave us, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Preach the good news to all nations. It's not a willy-nilly, it's not something that I made up. It's always been. But the decision lies with you. It can't lie with any pastor. It can't lie with any leader. It can't lie with any church. It has to be an individual decision to say, God, I'm willing to serve you no matter what the cost. But not just only serving, you've got to go to further than that. God, I'm willing to plant where you want me to plant so they can carry the cost. So if that's you, I'm just going to ask you to stand just where you are. Willing to take the cost, willing to be that disciple, stand where you are, make that decision. Are you ready to deny yourself? Are you ready to take up the cross? What profits a man if he gains the whole world? What profits a man who has all the fun and gains all the wealth of the world but have no relationship with Jesus? It's not even worth it. Yeah, that burden is lifted now. I think it was the word. So just where you are, can I ask you just to raise your hands to the heavens? Okay. I want you to repeat after me. Lord, every voice, Lord, I recognize that discipleship is going to cost my life. I ask you to help me to deny myself and take up your cross. I know it's not going to be easy. But I also know that you are with me always. And so today, I make that decision to be your disciple. Continue to teach me, continue to show me, and continue to speak to me. I am willing to take up the cross. I am willing to deny myself. From this day forward, I'm all in. From this day forward, I'm giving my all. And even in those moments, I don't want to give my all. Help me to give my all. I lift my life to you and everything around it and everything in it and lay it at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we just thank you for the commission that you've just placed on people's lives to take up their cross and deny oneself. We know it's not going to be easy. We know it's going to be hard as heck. But we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you empower us, that you give us strength in times of weakness, that in times when we don't feel like getting up, don't feel like doing what you want us to do, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you push us, that you can bring conviction within us so that we can keep carrying our cross and denying oneself. We are willing to take the cost because we know it's worth it because eternity at the end is with you. And so, Father, we thank you. We glorify your name. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you continue to teach us in all areas of our lives to be a better husband, wife, spouse, mother, auntie, uncle, worker, whatever it may be. We thank you, Holy Spirit. You continue to teach us to become better in all areas of our lives. Discipleship doesn't just stop and end here, start and end here. But Lord, Father, it's for every day. And so, Father, we lift it up to you and we look forward to going on this journey with you and together. In the name of Jesus, we pray. All God's people say, amen. Amen. Give God a hand.